Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to another installment of the beautiful podcast. How are you this fine Thursday, April 25th, 2024? Can you believe it? We are well past tax day here in the States. That was 10 days ago. I'm a bit sick. You can probably hear it in the voice. Not good. But that's okay. It's springtime. Weather's nice. Well, actually, it's starting to get a little gloomy here in San Francisco. But basically, it's that time of year where things are green and blue, and I love it. Friends, I'm gearing up for a pretty wild tour through Europe starting middle of May. Starting like first week of May. I'll be at DevOps UK. I'll be at J Prime. I'll be at Spring I.O. in beautiful Barcelona. I'll just be out. Just stay tuned. I'll be around, okay? I'll be in Italy, Germany, France, maybe. I'm pretty sure France, Ireland, London, where else? Barcelona, I mentioned that. Portugal, I'll be in Lisboa. I'll just be a lot of different places this summer, so stay tuned. That'll be fun. I'd love to see you all if I can. What else? It's just been an incredibly busy week, and it has been a very satisfying week. We've been very eagerly planning the next Spring One event, this big one here in Las Vegas, coming up in Las Vegas. By the way, the CFP closes, like, I think in a week. So submit now. Go to springone.io, and there's a link at the very top with a CFP. We want to hear from you. It's going to be fine. You got to just submit, you know, it'll be fine. What else? I've been so busy. I just did a video on gRPC. No, sorry, that was last week. I did a video on Spring Cloud Gateway, the new Spring Cloud Gateway MVC module, right? So, you know, we had this amazing technology that we built back in 2017 when we first introduced the reactive stack into the Spring ecosystem, which is Spring Cloud Gateway. And it was meant to be a logical successor to things like Netflix's Zool, right? Big, really cool technology. And it was built on reactive programming, right? Because it was non-blocking and scalable. But now, friends, now we have virtual threads. And so we wouldn't be so remiss if we released a version that targeted servlet containers, especially as long as we have virtual threads. And so we did. We have a Spring Cloud Gateway for Spring MVC, but we didn't try and keep parity with the DSL from the reactive stuff. Instead, we opted to just better integrate with the stack so that if you've already used a Spring MVC controller handler methods, you're already there. Or if you've used a Spring MVC functional style controller, definitions, then you're already there, right? You can do both actually with Spring Cloud Gateway for Spring MVC. I quite like the functional style, but I really like Proxy Exchange. My goodness, Proxy Exchange is dope. It provides a super nice integration. It just makes it trivial. You just define a controller method. You inject, as you would the request body or path variable or whatever, you inject an object of type proxy exchange, and then you can use that to forward the inbound request completely onward to some other place, but not before you've acted on the request, which is, I think, just really, really lovely. I love it a lot. So super nice, really, really powerful. Check out that video. Spring Cloud, I think, is one of the most amazing parts of the Spring ecosystem. It is its own ecosystem unto itself. It's huge, and there's just so many great modules there. And if you've already kind of gotten familiar with all the stuff in the Spring Cloud proper, guess what? You're nowhere close to done, because there are modules for Alibaba and for Azure and for AWS and for Google Cloud and whatever, right? So there's always something. There's just so much cool stuff there. And Spring Cloud Gateway is one of those gems, one of those millions of gems that you'll find when working with that ecosystem. Really, really amazing opportunities there, you know? Speaking of amazing, tomorrow I'm doing a co-presenting. I'm just the interviewer. I'll be talking with my friends and heroes, the amazing, the inimitable, awesome Dr. Dave Sire, co-founder, by the way, of Spring Boot and Spring Cloud. and Phil Webb, co-founder of Spring Boot and the current lead for the last 10 years of Spring Boot. And this is going to be, I think, an amazing result, right? It's going to be on the anniversary or on the in celebration of the recently passed anniversary, 10th year anniversary of Spring Boot 1.0, which came out the 1st of April, 2014. If you, I mean, that feels like yesterday. Honestly, it feels like yesterday that we released it. I can't believe it's 10 years old already. I just can't. It changed the world, and it's doing so all the time. I mean, we're very lucky to have such an amazing community, people that love it. So yeah, please join us. It'll be on the SpringSource YouTube channel. Bring your questions. Come talk to the people. I'm going to be interviewing them live on our SpringSource Dev on my Coffee software channel. And then, of course, if you miss it, the videos will be there. But they'll also be on the podcast. I'll take the interview and turn it into a podcast in a few weeks. So don't miss it. It'll be great. Two of the coolest people ever. You heard me interview Spring Framework co-founders Rod Johnson and Jürgen Haller on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of Spring Framework 1.0's release. I think it was last week or the week before, and that was a lot of fun. Join us for this one now to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Spring Boot. And in the meantime, I'm also very, very excited about today's discussion. You see, I was just in France, and I did my own presentation on Spring Boot, all the good, latest, and greatest stuff. That was fun. I did a presentation with my friend and colleague, Daniel Garnier-Moireau, who works on security and cloud and Spring Cloud Services, and, just really tuned into all the really interesting stuff in the ecosystem. And he and I did a presentation on passkeys, right? Which is a super interesting topic. It's very, very useful. You can, it's very rare you get the chance to do a thing that is both easier for the user and more secure, right? And thanks to Daniel for taking the time to sit down with us and explain it. We're talking about a nascent, not yet GA, not even merged into, the branch of Spring Security support for passkeys. And that'll be hopefully, in the next 6 months or whatever, maybe we'll see it land. It looks so good. It's so good. I mean, you can try it. It's not exactly public, but it is public, but it's just not like, it's rough, okay? It's early days yet in terms of the experience, but the end-to-end does work, and it's really amazing. So now you can build an app, log into the app with your username and password once, and then you register a passkey, and a passkey is a factor, like your thumb, your fingerprint, with Apple's Touch ID or your Face ID or a YubiKey, which is what we used to call a dongle in the 1990s. And then you can register that factor with your web app. And then the next time somebody comes to your web app, they don't need to do anything special. They say, I want to sign in with passkey. They put their finger on the fingerprint reader and they're done. It's amazing, amazingly good. And so it's, again, it's cryptically way, way more secure than a password, and especially one that you are prone to reusing. It's more cryptographically secure. It's just easier. You don't have to remember anything. Just put your finger there. It's easy. So it's just a really great result. I'm super excited about having the chance to talk to Daniel in today's discussion, recorded like half an hour before we went on stage at DevOps France last week. So my friends, enjoy.
Right. Hi, everybody. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hi. Let's see. We got some people here. Good. Hey, we're live. We're actually, I forgot to change the, I forgot cause we're in the same room. I wonder if I can change the name. Yeah. Cause it's not just Josh anymore. It's, got you here. Damn. Settings. No. Well, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm Daniel Gagné. I work with Josh on the Spring team and also on the browser Tanzu ecosystem. I have my superhero shirt.
Yes.
And we're doing a session together at DevOx France today.
In like 50 minutes.
Perfect.
Right.
We're ready.
We're ready. So we're going to do a quick thing here, talk about what we're going to talk about, and then go talk about it.
Exactly. Right. Warm up.
Preparatory presentation. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We're in Paris, France, which is where they keep the good bread and the democracy. So, you know, good stuff. We're going to DevOps France.
Yes.
Big show.
Yes.
Biggest show, biggest Java show on the planet at this
point. Huge. 4,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah. Really quite a spectacle. It's imagine Java 1, but on two different floors. Like it's enormous, absolutely enormous now. And we're going to be talking about security. And, you know, me, I get hives when I think about security. I like Spring Security because I don't want to have to think about security, right?
Right.
But every now and then there's some new thing in security, and that requires a rethink on how you approach it. Laughing Logic, Adam. Hi. Is that Kenton? Kenta? No?
Kenton?
Kenta? I don't know, whatever. Good to see you all. So, by the way, sound off. Where are you all joining me from today? Where are you all joining us from in the chat? I just want to know. We're in Paris. We told you where we are. Maybe there's somebody here at the DevOps France. There's a new paradigm in security right now, and this is it's very rare that so many disparate companies agree on something.
Right.
But around this, I think people have sort of gathered kind of consistently, which is passwordless authentication. What is that? Like, why would I do that instead of a username and password?
Right, right. We've had passwords for decades now, right? Everyone's mm-hmm. using password, but hey, Marco, wow, it's been a while. So passwords, bad idea, right? They get leaked.
Right.
You're told not to reuse them, but you reuse them anyway. So, you know, when your petshop.com leaks your password, then suddenly attackers have access to your Gmail account or whatever.
Right, and then even worse, if you use the same password in multiple places.
Exactly.
Now you're in real trouble, you know?
Right, right. So everyone is convinced that passwords are probably not a good idea. So we invented the hack. And the hack was password managers, right?
Right, which is a Band-Aid.
Right. So we're still going to be using passwords, but we're going to be using stuff that is random, and you'll have this master password to lock the other passwords. But still, it's a hack on passwords.
Because you're still using passwords, and somebody could
exactly
grab that. Hopefully, right. It's unique. Hopefully, you're doing random generated passwords.
Yes.
But
yes. And so the new thing it's been going on for a few years now is passkeys.
Yes.
So authentication on the web using devices, so using cryptography.
Right.
And we don't want users to remember the 1,000 characters for their private key.
Right.
That would be inconvenient. We don't want users to be, you know, Linux gurus that can generate an SSH key right. and like load it in their agent and so on. We want everyone to be able to use this. And so the idea is we're going to use specialized devices to store these cryptographic entities. And it started with, physical devices, physical mm-hmm. keys. Like I have one in my pocket. Mm-hmm. This here YubiKey. That's a physical thing. And I can use that and it holds my private keys.
Is that a bit like a dongle from the 90s?
Exactly, right? So the dongle would in general generate OTP passwords or like right. have an OTP engine in it, and then they would YubiKey, use that, right? Yeah,
that's
exactly. So it's a YubiKey we're using here. And so what we can do now is with your Mac, with your Windows device, with your Android or iPhone or iPad, you can now have, you know, authentication using the built-in authentication mechanism. So for example, on the Mac you have here, Josh, I can see you have a thumbprint, mm-hmm. fingerprint reader. And so I can use that fingerprint reader now to log into a website.
To on your Mac.
Right.
On mine, it does nothing, which is the point, right?
Right, exactly. I can use my face using Face ID on my iPhone
right.
to log into GitHub.
Right.
And I can use that when I log into GitHub on my phone, but I can also go on GitHub on your computer and then click and say, I want to use a passkey mm-hmm. and I want to use a nearby device, and I will use my device to log into GitHub on your Mac, right?
Into your account.
Into right. my account, not of course.
And so the actual key itself is hidden. It's not stored in the cloud. It's stored in the device.
So it depends on which. So usually, if I'm using a YubiKey, obviously it's on the device.
Right.
If if it's on my iPhone, it's
Face ID.
Yeah, right. It's storing the key in my iCloud account.
Right, which you presumably trust more than you do.
Exactly.
Well, I trust Google and I trust GitHub, but maybe I don't trust random shop.xyz.
Exactly.
Why?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And right. So at least I'm now using a trusted known thing, which is iCloud and their encryption.
Right.
If Apple can't store it securely, then who can, you know?
And so the idea is two things. Is one, it's secure.
Yeah.
But we already had this like OAuth thing for being secure already, right? OAuth open IDs, federated login.
Well, that still requires a password though at some point, probably.
Well, I mean, that depends. The details of how you log into your OAuth provider.
It's not provided by the spec, but what is it going to be besides that up until passkeys, right?
But with this passkeys, the idea is like it's easy to use, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on a device. I go into a supermarket. I want to create an account and have a basket.
Right.
Then there's even a flow where I can create my account without a password, only my, you know, my device.
Your factor, your
exactly
key, yeah.
Right. Exactly. And with this, I log in easily. And so that's why the folks who created this, so Apple, Microsoft, Google, they did this.
Again, imagine all these, they can't even agree on browsers, but we all agree on this, you know?
And so like, they created this as part of the FIDO Alliance.
What does that mean?
And FIDO is Fast Identity Online.
Oh, hey, finally an acronym that kind of makes sense. Oh, when I think of FIDO, I think of the name for dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
fetch,
yeah.
FIDO, fetch. Yeah. And by the way, I think you just answered it, but what if somebody loses the device?
So that's a great question. So usually you won't put a single device, a single passkey on your account. Often it's used as a second factor mechanism. Mm-hmm. So for example, our corporate SSO, mm-hmm. I do have to use my email, my password, and a second factor, which can be a push notification or whatever, or it can be a passkey. So now I just touch the sensor on my Mac.
Yeah.
And so I have multiple of those. And so I would have to go and revoke, like to be secure, I would have to go and revoke that passkey where it's been used,
ID,
right?
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, where it's been in the website in which it's been used, right? So if I registered it with GitHub and with, I don't know, Okta and Microsoft, then I would have to go to these websites and say, ooh, probably invalidate that key because I've lost it. Usually they have mechanisms built in so that it's not just a single factor. So,
well, and also these factors are a lot of times are tied to biometrics, which are, if you don't invalidate them, if somebody else has that key, they still don't have access to the ability to authenticate.
Maybe
know?
If they cut off my finger, I may be in trouble, but
yeah, well, then you have worse problems.
Yeah, exactly. Still, some of these have biometrics. You can also have a password. So this YubiKey is a physical USB dongle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a thing I have. But it also has a sort of master password,
right?
To protect
code or something.
So that if you steal my thing, then you can't use it because you also need to know the password,
right?
And so it's
the security has security
exactly. And so this one has two factors in it.
Yeah.
That's why I can log in with this without using an extra password.
Okay, nice. So that's pretty good. That's the use case, which is I want to. I mean, I can already open my phone with my face. I can already open my laptop with my digits.
But those were like platform things.
That's only operating system, right?
For your device.
And annoyingly, I don't know actually. What does that look like for like Linux?
I did. It's a great idea.
Do they do Face ID there?
I don't think they do Face ID on Linux.
Does Windows? I mean, Windows must have support for Face ID.
Yeah. Windows has biometric support, and it has this like. Under the Windows Hello umbrella,
right.
Apple has their Face or Touch ID, and Windows has Windows Hello. The thing is, like these passkeys are just cryptographic credentials that you store somewhere, and so you can also store them in software.
Yeah.
And so some password managers, I think 1Password and LastPass, can also store your passkeys.
Yep.
So instead of using a password manager that will like fill some
text
input, right? Like copy values into text inputs on a website. If I click on sign in with a passkey and I use LastPass, whatever, then I can use that to store my credentials. And so
in that case, it's acting like iCloud.
Exactly.
Right. You don't need iCloud. It's being saved in a cloud of sorts.
Exactly.
Not your iCloud. It's saved in the password manager.
And it's probably like cached in your device
right.
and so on.
Okay. Super cool, right? And
and Rob so Rob Winch,
yeah,
leader of the Spring Security lead. He's on Linux and he's working on this, and so he's definitely not using you know, Touch ID for that. I think he uses a password manager to do his development.
Rob is proof that you can do anything on Linux. Yeah, so we had him on the show here too.
Yeah, actually,
it might be fun to have him. So passkeys are just starting to rise. I mean, over the last 6 months, I've seen Google and YouTube and GitHub, and these sites are all saying, hey, by the way, if you want to migrate to passkeys, we can do that now, right? That's all a recent thing.
Right.
So now I'm wandering around the web, and I'm starting to, like, instead of doing, what is it, Command-Shift-L, I do on my Mac to Bitwarden to fill in a form. Now, a lot of times I'm just doing touch, and I'm logged into my freaking Gmail or something, which is cool. But that's a newish capability for everyone.
Right.
And it's also new for Spring Security. It's not there yet, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not there yet. So we've been working on it. Rob has been pushing the effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a, you know, so the capability is well supported by browsers, and we have a spec, but like it changes every 2 years or so. We're at version 3.3 now. So there's still some things to be figured out on what's the API for users, because this is a browser capability. This is not a server thing. There's a server component to it, because the login flow is, you know, I go to the website and the website presents a challenge. I use the browser API to interact with a device that will sign the challenge cryptographically using my key,
right?
And then send back the signature to the server, and the server will validate the signature and say, yeah, that matches the public key you sent me earlier.
Okay.
So there's a server component where you do cryptography and you say, yep, you know, correctly signed, it matches a known record of one of your keys.
Right.
But then there's this layer of, well, the browser needs to access the hardware. And so the browser needs to call some JavaScript.
Right.
So there's an element of JavaScript API. That's how you talk to the browser. Still better than Flash, eh?
No.
Wow.
No, definitely
Flash,
not.
Macromedia Flash?
Yeah, no. I'll take that any day. I would have taken ActionScript over the mess that is modern TypeScript and JavaScript any day times 10, 15 years ago.
Fair enough.
Much better language.
Java applets. Oh. All right. And so there's this JavaScript layer. So it goes through multiple phases in a flow. It starts on a server generating a challenge, then it goes to the browser, and it goes to your authenticator, back to the browser, back to the server. And so while it's not super hard to create the full experience,
right,
that you unbox it has a page in it, right, you can click and you over like Touch ID and then you're logged in, making it extensible so people can plug this capability into their existing single page app, for example,
right,
is not as trivial. So we're still iterating on what do we expose, how do we make it consumable,
right,
so you can build your own, you know,
JavaScript portal front end thing,
yeah, whatever, or even in a normal, you know, you're using HTMX server rendered HTML, but you want custom HTML,
right,
and then you want like custom interactions on the JavaScript because you have, you know, I don't know, your text box is different or something, and so we can't just like force you to use this page. People wouldn't use the default, you know, username and password login on Spring
Security. White label
exactly, right?
Login form you get from Spring Security.
It's great for getting started.
Yeah.
Or like understanding how it works. But
yeah,
people move beyond that. And so for passkeys, we want to do the same thing. So we want to help people move beyond the default. We want an easy experience when you unbox the thing and it works.
Right.
But then how do we make it even like do we make it friendly? You know, we're plucking this like 250 page spec,
right,
by the W3C, which is, you know, it's at least it's secure. It's maybe not easy to use, but it's secure.
Yeah.
And so we want to, like, you know, understand it, use it, but then make it so that you don't have to understand it to use it, which is always a little bit, you know, there's a balance to be found.
Sure. Right now, the happy path works fine in the Spring Security support, but it's that extensibility that's lacking, I think. And we'll get there. Just give it another release. I think not going to be in this next Spring Security release coming out.
Not Sig 3.
But maybe 6 months after, you know.
Yeah. 6.4, maybe 6.4. Yeah. Maybe. Well, you know, we'll ship it when it's ready.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be secure and it has to be extensible.
Right. The first part's there.
Yes.
Now we're working on the second part.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And the path is cool as hell, though.
Yeah, exactly. But we can't, like, give you this hard-coded thing that you can't change. It makes no sense.
But the happy path right now, like, it's you add a jar, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 8 lines of Java code.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You're done. You're like, I have a web app now. It's a Spring app. I open the app in the browser, and it's like, oh, hey, do you want to log in with a passkey? You log in with your password, username, log in. Then you get shown a chance to register a passkey. You register with whatever, your Face ID or Touch, whatever.
Or multiple.
Yeah. Multiple, yeah. And then log out. And then next time you can log in with that passkey. You can log in by touching or using your face or whatever. And it's just as simple as that. It does work. It's just not very pretty. So
Yeah. And there are a lot of questions because, like, well, you said username and password. But what if my login, my primary login, is not username and password?
Right.
I still have to tie this passkey abstraction to whatever is a logged in entity in my system. So like an authentication might not be username and password.
The original login that gets you to the place where you can then register a passkey may not be a username and password. That's true.
Right. And then we have to do the other flows. Like, what if you still want to keep username and password, but you want a second factor, which is a passkey?
Right.
Or what if you want to create an account with just a passkey?
Right.
There's a bunch of...
You accept it with that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Clearly some wrinkles, but it's really, really promising. And actually, the result is one of those rare unicorns that we very rarely get to see in the world, which is better security while also being more convenient. You know, usually security is, I mean, it's cumbersome and a pain in the butt, you know. But now with this, it's the best of both worlds. It's easier for everybody to use, and it's the better secure product, you know. Amazing result.
And I know you're excited to integrate this with a Spring authorization server.
Yes, yeah, so imagine that. Like, imagine I log into the auth server, and instead of doing
username and password,
as presumably I set up a form there to register users, whatever. Instead of doing that, I just do a passkey.
Right, exactly.
And then now I log into another app, and it says, oh, hey, you're not logged in. Redirects me to the auth server. I do my touch ID or face ID or whatever, and then it redirects me back. That'd be slick, you know? When would that happen? That's going to have to happen after the base stuff in Spring Security, I guess.
Definitely.
But, oh, man. How does validation work? Cryptography. I don't know. Yeah,
magic. We take some bits and then we shake them together. So So when you register passkey, you get this pop-up in your browser. So either it's a operating system pop-up or a browser specific thing that tells you, oh, you want to register a passkey. What kind of passkey do you want? Do you want like Face ID? Do you want like a device, whatever? And then you select and then you click on the device because you have to be present. We don't want any website to be hammering your device with requests to try and crack your private key. And so at the moment you click on the authenticator and you say, yes, I want to generate something for this website. Is going to generate a private key and a public key for this user for this website. And so in your authenticator, so either in your key, in your Face ID, we're going to store the private key and keep it secret and link it to that domain, so to joshlong.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then the public key, we send that to the server, so to joshlong.com.
Mm-hmm.
And joshlong.com will hold that public key and link it to your account, to Daniel, for example. Next time when I come in, the joshlong.com will ask me to prove that I have this private key.
Right.
And so I will do a cryptographic signature.
Mm-hmm.
It will send me something. I'll sign it, send it back, and then using the public key is going to say, does this signature match what needs to be signed? Yes. Then it proves you have a private key, so I'm going to let you in. So it's not like MTLS. It's more like a JWT, right?
A JWT token.
Right. Okay. It's a JWT token. More like a JWT token in the sense of like someone holds something private, signs something with it, and then the rest of the world can validate whether it's a legit signature or a fake one.
I see. I don't understand most of what you just said. I just trust that it works. It's really slick to see it work. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's I'm really excited that this is a thing that people can look forward to very soon. It's really, really cool. I can't wait for you all to see it. The video from DevOps Fantasy, I think, will be
published,
I hope. So, you know,
soon.
If you want like the more in-depth, more, you know, more bits per minute demo, then stay tuned. I'm sure I can post a link to our presentation there.
Definitely, yeah.
Where do people, we got to run. So, friends, I hope you got something out of this, but we have to run. We have to go. It's not far. It's like, it's the other way. We have to run across the street
right
to this giant conference with, you know, several thousand people just running around.
Grab some coffee.
Too. Coffee is key when you do a Java presentation. I found that to be a true truism. So, you know, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Hope you got something out of it. Hey, somebody said thanks. Thanks for joining us. I know it's, what time is it? It's 2 o'clock. Here, so 7 in the morning in California, and then 10 in the morning in New York, and it's early yet in the U.S. and it's
late in Australia.
Yeah, so I think this is actually the best time.
Yeah,
to think about it. Everybody's still awake.
Yeah,
well, yeah, if people in Australia are awake, then Asia's definitely awake.
Yeah, well, it's maybe late. Yeah, 10 p.m. like,
yeah,
very late show in bed. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
better than Netflix.
Exactly. All right. Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Cheers. See you around.
A Bootiful podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. I'm Josh at joshlong.com by email or at starbuxman on Twitter, where, of course, my direct messages are wide open. Do you have guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback? Don't hesitate to reach out. If you like the show, then please consider rating it on iTunes and leaving a review, as it really helps the show. I sampled music from Steve Combs' Them from Morning and Springtime and Steve Combs' Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. I'm trying to hire production assistants to make the production of this podcast easier. I want to make sure that we can add things like show notes and transcripts and just generally do more. If you would like to advertise on the show, then please reach out to me. And if you can't or don't want to advertise but would like to otherwise support the show, then please consider supporting me at patreon.com, patreon.com/Josh Long for as low as $4 a month. Thanks again. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.